Good morning again, Second Reformed Church. It is a joy to be back with you, to be able to share the message of the gospel with you. And before we get started, what I'd like to do is, when I was here last, as many of you know, I was going through the ordination process and have since passed that process. But what I wanted to do was, because the people of Second Reformed have been so wonderful to me, they allowed me to borrow this book from your library. So among the congregation, I want to return your book and say thank you so much. It was a great help to me. So that when I need to borrow others, I'm hoping that you will be as gracious. Let us pray. Father God, we want to say thank you again for another opportunity, the opportunity that we can come together as believers. Believers in you, believers in your death and resurrection, and hear what you have to say to us on this day, the day that is deemed Pentecost Sunday, the Sunday where the Holy Spirit came as you had told us he would and pour his spirit out on all believers. So we ask that you would speak to us from your word today, and it's in the name of Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen. The scripture lessons that we've heard from this morning, both old and New Testament, are very key to some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to share with one another. And the title of the sermon, if there had to be one, is Unlock the Door, There's Work to Do. A lot of times when we hear about locked doors, the truth about locked doors is what? If somebody wouldn't mind telling me, why would you lock a door? You can shout it out. Why would you lock a door? To keep people out? Anything else? Safety reasons. How about privacy? Sometimes we lock doors because we don't really want to be bothered. There are a variety of reasons that we lock the door. But as people who say that we are followers of Jesus Christ, there comes a point in our Christian walk where we must grow to the point where we're going to have to unlock the doors. Why? Because there's work to do. These disciples followed Christ and followed his teachings, followed the ministry, followed him up until his crucifixion. Jesus tried to tell them over and over again, I won't be here with you always. And what he told them on the latter part of his days was, I will send you a comforter, the comforter who we proclaim today, the Holy Spirit who Christ has left with us. But when he told them, he wanted to prepare them. He wanted to make sure that they understood, I won't always be with you. And then we find in today's scripture lesson, I'll read to you again, as Carol has already wonderfully read from the Gospel of John. And this translation is from the New Living Translation. And it says this. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. If we were to pause right there, they were afraid of the Jewish leaders because what they had been accused of was stealing Jesus's body. They were being accused of stealing his body, and had the Jewish leaders found where they were, they would have been persecuted. They would have been prosecuted. These disciples were afraid of what could happen if the doors were left unlocked. That sounds like us sometimes as Christians in the world, in the society that we currently live in. A lot of times we keep our doors locked in the church, figuratively. We keep the doors of our heart locked, figuratively, because we don't want to look any different from what the world says that we should look like. We want our worship experience to mimic that of everyone else in the Reformed Church. We want our worship experience to mimic that of, oh, we receive the donations that all others receive or more. We're able to maintain our beautiful sanctuary and we're able to maintain our ministry of music. But the truth is that what Jesus is saying to all of us today is to unlock the doors because there is work to do. Work that goes beyond these doors here in Hackensack, New Jersey. Work that goes with you and I to our jobs every day, to our families and to our homes. Christ is telling us today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the light that the children so innocently showed us, we have this light to spread into this world. So what are we afraid of? What do we need privacy for? Why do we have to secure ourselves in this walk of faith that the scriptures tell us to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Why is this such an exclusive club, Christianity? Why is it that we won't unlock the doors? Because there is work to do. The work of salvation, the work of giving to those who don't have, the work of those who are poor, who are thirsty, not just in the literal sense, but in a figurative sense. There are those in this community and beyond who are thirsty and hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my life and your life can feed them what they need so that they might know what they need to do in order to be saved. The scriptures tell us this morning to unlock the door because there is work to do. The gospel writer goes on and he says they were behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he says. Jesus is funny. He is a comical figure at times because they were afraid. And what Jesus comes among these locked doors and says is peace. Peace in saying, why are you afraid? The peace that says before he left, my peace I give you and my peace I leave you. Why are you afraid? As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, which speaks to us because sometimes we do need proof that the Lord is with us, that the Holy Spirit is actually working. They were filled with joy, however, when they saw the Lord. And again, he said, peace be with you. Jesus probably still discerning that there was some fear in their hearts, fear that Jesus was actually standing among them, fear that how did he get in here? Because the doors are indeed locked. Fear that what he had promised, he fulfilled. He told us he was going to rise. Here he is. And now there's work for us to do. As the Father has sent me, Jesus says, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Jesus has given all of us who are Christians, who have professed and proclaimed his name. Jesus has given us power and he's given us authority in that little light that comes in all of our hearts that should shine and includes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should lead and guide us in all of the works that we do as Christians. Again, not just within the walls or the confines of what we call the church, but beyond these walls. How do we react when there are people who are in need who don't look like us or don't think like us or don't have the same doctrine or theology that we have? Does that mean that they are not worthy of the tree of life? Does that mean that we should not unlock the doors because there is indeed work to do? Jesus came for everyone in this world, just as he came for you and I, the opportunity to have life everlasting. And that life everlasting will come by salvation. Salvation and transformation that only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. But if the doors are locked, how then are we to share this gift with the world? How then are we to share what we've all gotten so comfortable in? I'm used to doing this way. I'm used to serving that way. How are we to help anyone else when they don't do it this way or that way? What the scriptures are telling us this morning is that we need to unlock the doors. Why? Because there is work to do. Every time we come into contact with a loved one, with a stranger, with a relative, there is work to do. Why? Because we have taken the profession of faith. We have said, as our confession reads, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and so on, and so on, and so on. We repeat it Sunday after Sunday. But the question is, do we live in a manner that is so pleasing to Christ? I end this morning with the verses that were read for us so innocently during the children's message. And Peter, the one who was Jesus's bodyguard. Peter, the one who always had something to say. When the truth was, is that Peter found out at the end when he denied Christ that he had some locked doors as well. When Christ told him, Peter, you will deny me 3 times. And it so happened. But after receiving the light and the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised in this Gospel of John, we go to the book of Acts, and it says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. The power of the Holy Spirit is not in our own authority. The power of the Holy Spirit is not for us to designate to whom we think should receive it. The power of the Holy Spirit is for the work of the people, for the work of the ministry, for the work of the Lord until he comes again, so that all might have an opportunity to be saved. It's not my decision nor yours whether or not they are to make that decision. The scripture says that one plants and one waters, but it is God who gives the increase. As Christians, there are times when we look to give an increase that we indeed can't give. This morning, we want to remember to unlock the doors because there is work to be done. This is the word of the Lord.